We shall turn now for a little to the portion that we read from the book of Psalms, Psalm 105, and we may read from verse 19 just now, Psalm 105, verse 19, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. You will see that these words refer to the experience of Joseph when he was down in Egypt, and indeed when he was imprisoned in Egypt, and we're told that for a period he was waiting to see God, as it were, keep his promise, his word to him, and he was kept waiting patiently upon the Lord, looking with expectation that the Lord would be faithful to him and faithful to his word that he had previously given him, in fact, many years before. Until the time, note those words, until the time, until God's time, no other time, until God's time, his word, that is, the until the time that Joseph's word actually came before the king, the word of the Lord tried him or tested him. Now, it is very interesting if we were to analyze the general attitude of many Christians to the Word of God. They will take great delight in recording sweet promises, and they will take the words that apparently they draw comfort from, they get encouragement from, and they tell us they enjoy the Bible, they enjoy reading the Bible, they enjoy meditating upon it because they get comfort from it, they get encouragement, they receive light and so on. And this seems to be the general expectation of the average Christian today who reads his or her Bible. Very few Christians, it seems to me, actually know very much about the experience that is referred to here. Being tried by the Word of God. Being tested by the Word of God. And if we sat down and thought about it and thought of the years we've been reading the Bible and think of how it has affected us and think of perhaps the blessings we've received from it, maybe we would go to certain portions and say, well, I remember that this portion was a great comfort to me at a time when I was in trouble and I was burdened and anxious. Here is another portion that shed light on the truth for me and strengthened my faith, and so on. But I wonder how many of us even tonight would be able to say, I am even now being tested. I am right now going through my Christian experience by which the Word of God is trying me. It's testing me. It's trying me. It's testing my faith. It's testing my patience. It's testing my love for God, my confidence in His Word. It is testing me. And as it does, so grace is developing and the work of sanctification is ever improving and increasing. Now, because we have this particular example in the person of Joseph, we're not left wondering who do these words actually apply to, whose word is it that we're reading about, because we know we're able to turn to that very person's history and we're able to see exactly from his experience what this particular exercise of soul is. Until the time, that his word came, until the time. And you, when we go back to look at Joseph's life and his experiences, and we see how it connects with God's covenant promises, you go to verse 42 of this very psalm, and what do we read? For he remembered, that is God, he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant. God was ever mindful of the covenant that he had established, his holy promise that he had made to Abraham. And all over the years, that promise was before God. That covenant was ever before God. And all the events and all the experiences of all the parties that would be involved in bringing about the fulfillment of the promise were all fitting perfectly in, timed perfectly by God. And until the time appointed by God, not a moment too soon, not a moment later, the exact time God had appointed, the word of Joseph came to Pharaoh. Now, if we consider what takes place, it is very easy to imagine from what is written that Joseph, who had been already severely tested and tried, was expecting his word to come before Pharaoh sooner than it did. But it didn't, because it was not yet time. Until the time. And you and I may be sometimes impatient, thinking, well, I believe God's word. I really do put my confidence in God, and I believe he's faithful and he will be true to his word. But why is he not doing this? Why is he not doing that? Why is he not doing it now? And we might think, I see no reason why God should delay it. I cannot reason out why God is not acting sooner. We have to learn until the time comes. We must wait on God. Until the time comes, we must trust God. Until his time comes, we must rest by faith on his word. And that word will test us. Test our patience, test our faith, test our love for God and his truth. Now when we go back to the book of Genesis and back to at least some of the history of Joseph, it's one of those Old Testament stories that even the little children, one of their earliest stories generally that they learn of Joseph and his coat of many colors and things like that. Joseph was the child of promise, and he was given to Jacob and he was considered the child of Jacob's old age. And Jacob loved him dearly. But, and this is one of the amazing wonders of grace, Joseph's brethren hated him. Now, who were these brethren? They were the heads of the tribes of Israel. This was the Old Testament church. These were the foundation members, as it were, of the Old Testament church. And what a crowd they were. You read into the history, and that's not our intention to go into it, but they were fearfully jealous of the affection that Joseph experienced from his father. And they hated him, with the result that there came the time when they intended, they actually threatened to kill him. And you will know the story without going into all the details, that they said, let us kill this dreamer. Remember, he had these dreams, and the sheaves were of his brethren and were bowing down to his sheaf. Then the stars and the moon were bowing down in the second dream and so on, and his brothers were interpreting them, and even his father as indicating that they would be subject to him as the young member of the family, just 17 years of age, and they were not going to tolerate it at all, and they were jealous of him, and they hated him, but God had a purpose, and Joseph had to hold on to those promises year after year after year, when absolutely every experience, basically, seemed to be saying the very opposite to what God had revealed to Joseph in these dreams. It seemed that the very opposite was happening. And that was a test until his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. It was as though God was saying, Joseph, do you still believe me? Joseph, are you still able to trust me? Though when you look out on the scene and before you and the experiences, you're presently going, are you still trusting me, Joseph? Do you still believe that those dreams were from me? Do you still rely and look by faith for the fulfillment of my promises? Or are you giving up, Joseph? Just because things are contrary, are you giving up? He was tested. Let's not think that Joseph simply was complacent and thought, well, I would just leave it in a fatalistic kind of attitude with a fatalistic outlook. Well, we'll just wait. I don't have anything else to do. Just wait and see what God does. He was tried. He was tested. And that would indicate he was tempted. Tempted at times in the dark hours to think maybe God isn't going to keep his word. Maybe God is going to fail me after all. Maybe God has forsaken me and left me here, and I'm foolishly hoping for what will never be. He was tested. And sometimes you see the Lord's people get it into their heads that when the Lord gives a promise, they just hold on to it and they wait for it to be fulfilled, and they're never tested, they're never tried, they're never tempted to unbelief, they're never tempted to question that promise. Here's Joseph as an example, and his brethren, then they determined they would kill him. But then the One of the brothers intervened, let us not kill him. Let us put him into a pit. And he was put in a pit wherein was no water. And then, whenever the Midianites came along, they thought, well, we might as well make money out of him. And they sold him for a slave. Now, they took him out of the pit, we are told, in order to give him over into the hands of the Midianites. Reuben, with all his faults, obviously loved his father and did not want to experience or witness the terrible grief that he knew, the heart-rending grief he knew would be the lot of his father if they report back, Joseph is dead. And he had reasoned with his brethren, so they put him in the pit. And the reason, of course, was that Reuben, if you go back to Genesis 37, they were saying, come and let us slay him, cast him into some pit, and so on. Verse 21, Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. Now that's the plan of Reuben. But you see, in the midst of it all, God remembered his covenant with Abraham and his holy promise. And you see all the schemings of men, and you see the pendulum, as it were, swinging one side, then the other side. And yet in it all, God's still remembering his holy promise. And he's still working out his sovereign plan. And we might be thinking, well, here's a note of hope. Reuben intends to get him out of the pit and deliver him back into his father's hands. If that had happened, we would not read these words until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. He would never have been the governor in Egypt. He would never have been able to deliver his brethren and save the tribes that were to become Israel. But you see, God had his plan and his purpose, and we see men's plans and God overruling them. And we're told in Chapter 37, Genesis, verse 29, Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes, because he didn't know what had happened to Joseph. And he was sold as a slave, sent down to Egypt. You imagine he's only 17 years of age. He has no idea what lies before him. He has lost all the security of his family. He's abandoned into this great nation filled and overflowing with idolatry. There'll be nothing there. There'll be no prophets of the Lord there. There'll be no altars to offer sacrifices to Jehovah God. There'll be no teachers there teaching the laws of Moses and the worship of Jehovah. There he is. No pity shown to him, no compassion, as he disappears out of sight and apparently out of the lives of his brothers and out of his family. But The interesting thing is, as things develop, chapter 39, we're just jumping over for the sake of time. Verse 1, Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. God had everything in order. Every individual was under the control of the Almighty, who would not forget his holy promise nor his covenant with Abraham. And what do we read? Verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. Those are truly wonderful words. Jacob is not with him. Reuben is not with him. Seems he's completely orphaned and abandoned and forsaken. And the Lord was with him. In Egypt, where's he going to find true religion? Where's he going to find anyone who will engage in conversation about Jehovah God and his worship and his word and his law? And the Lord was with him. Joseph would feel all alone and abandoned and forsaken. But whatever was happening, the Lord was with him. And sometimes we forget that. We think, well, things are so dark, and we think things are so lonely, and we think to ourselves that everything is shattering and falling to pieces around us. And yet, whatever thoughts were going through Joseph's mind, you imagine he had all kinds of fears, wondering, what will happen to me down here? Will I be able to keep my faith? Will I just forget that I ever belonged to the family of Jacob? Will I just forget I ever had a previous life and just become an Egyptian, fit in somehow, try to survive? And he's bought by Potiphar and taken into his household. And the Lord was with him. The Lord who gave him his word was still with him. And then we read of various things happening to him. Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him into immorality and sin. And he must have thought, I've been terribly mistaken. My life is just one long list of troubles and trials and problems. Abandoned and forsaken by my brothers. Lonely here and now, bought into as a slave into this house. And as I try to fear God and keep my reputation and refuse to sin, you must imagine Joseph thinking when he was in that prison. Maybe I was all mistaken. God didn't tell me he was going to leave me in a prison in Egypt. And he must have sat down at times as a young man. What has happened? How did I come here? How is it when I look back to my childhood, when I look back and I can think and remember my father's affection, the happy home, the joy, the gladness. And here I am in Egypt all alone, and I'm in a prison now. And I'm in a prison in spite of the fact that I feared God and I refused to sin and I would not sin against God? Has he abandoned me? Has he forsaken me? Left me in this prison? It's not even worth serving God. I might as well just abandon myself to living like a heathen Egyptian. There he was, verse 20 of chapter 39. Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. What do we read next? But the Lord was with Joseph. But the Lord was with Joseph. Oh, the Lord hadn't forsaken him. The Lord hadn't abandoned him. And there he was in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. And there was something entered that prison that had never been in it since ever it was built. No other prisoner had ever brought such a presence into that prison as Joseph did. But the Lord was with him. Isn't that something? The Lord was with him wherever he was going. Whatever his providences, whatever his circumstances, the Lord was with Joseph. And then we see how that when he's in the prison, things happen. And he is there unjustly treated. But the Lord was with him and was working out his plan. And two other prisoners, they dreamed, and Joseph is able to interpret their dreams. And look what he interprets and the details as he interprets their dreams. Joseph, we're told, as he takes up the two dreams, the dream of the butler and the dream of the baker, and he interprets them. And what does he say? First of all, regarding the butler, he said verse 12, this is the interpretation of it, the three branches are 3 days. You see how accurately he was able to tell the butler the mind of God, 3 days, and you will be restored to your position of favor with the king. Then baker's dream, verse 18 of chapter 40, Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head from off thee. 3 days. And yet, in his own experience, until his word, the time of his word came, Joseph must have been tempted and sore tried. How is it that God can show him that in 3 days he can tell these men exactly 3 days? Why, God, can you not tell me? Tell me the days. Tell me the weeks. Give me that same kind of information that at least I might have some understanding of what lies before me. I could begin to count the days. I can look into the future with some kind of hope. He must have been tempted to question the wisdom of God, to question the purpose of God. Why is it that God enables me to tell so clearly that in 3 days these men are going to have changed positions, and yet God won't tell me? He just keeps me waiting. He keeps me in suspense. He keeps me hanging on to His Word when I've absolutely nothing else. If He would only tell me 3 days, 3 years, whatever. But then a little ray of hope dawns in the experience of Joseph. And he asks a favor of the butler. He was so confident, 3 days you'll be reappointed to be the king's butler. And then in verse 14, think on me, he said, when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. Remember me. I shouldn't be in here. And we read in the Psalm 105 that Joseph was held in irons. And we're told the iron, as it were, the pain of it, the pain of the injustice, the pain of the physical suffering, but particularly the pain of the injustice, went right into his soul. And Joseph, as it were, was feeling, I just don't know what God's doing. I just don't understand why God is treating me this way. Why is God dealing with me this way? I thought He'd promised good to me. I thought He gave me His Word and He was going to exalt me, but instead I've never had anything but humiliation upon humiliation upon humiliation. I can't go any lower. Here I am in the prison. How low can God possibly take me? There he was, with a little ray of hope now. In 3 days, the butler's going to be restored. Now remember me and speak kindly for me to get me out of this miserable place. Now maybe he's thinking, God is going to do something now. Maybe he was thinking, I'm beginning to see it now. God is his own way of doing it. But chapter 41, verse 1, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. And look at what we read in the previous verse, the end of chapter 40. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And you would think, how could that even be possible? How could it even be remotely possible to be out of the prison, to be restored to serve the king as his butler, and to think that the baker had been beheaded? You would think he would never, ever, for a moment, be able to forget Joseph. But in the divine purpose of God, what do we read? Until the time, his word came. Not before it. And what do we read? The butler forgot, because it isn't time yet. We might think, something's amiss here, something's wrong. But it's not God's time yet. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. Joseph must have sat many a night, tempted and tried, his head and his hands, has that butler got no compassion? Has he got no humanity about him? That he's forgotten me? He knows what it's like in here. He was in this miserable prison. He knows the conditions. He wanted out as quickly as he could. And he's forgotten me. I'm abandoned here. And 2 years pass. And he's still in that miserable prison. And the word of the Lord was trying him. Until the time until the time. Oh, how we need every one of us to learn and learn well this lesson. That is an exercise of soul and a very, very important one. To have to learn to wait until the time, God's time. And we're told 2 years passed before the butler remembered Joseph, and God had appointed Pharaoh to have a dream that would stir up the memory of the butler, and he remembers Joseph. We'd be thinking, why has it taken 2 years? Doesn't make any sense. Until the time. And 2 years were included in the waiting for that time. Sometimes some of the Lord's people become very impatient with God, and they expect God to dance attendance on them, and they're not prepared to wait. God can't keep me waiting. And then you see they've got a little promise and they just jump to it and expect, now I can go with confidence. I've got a little promise. Now I can start to do something wonderful with confidence because the Lord has given me his promise. The Lord's promises are holy promises, as we read in the Psalm. The Lord remembered his holy promise and his covenant with Abraham. And because he remembered it, Joseph, you have to wait another 2 years. Isn't it amazing what we think of 2 years? Oh, 2 years. I can't wait 2 years. Joseph had waited more than 2 years, but the very fact there is mention of these 2 years, it is a particular period. You imagine Joseph, like a lot of professing Christians and young Christians today, I can't wait 2 years. I can't wait that long. I've got to get going. I've got to do something. No. Joseph had to learn this until God's time comes. I've got to wait. And the word of the Lord tries me. 1 year through Joseph, if we imagine ourselves going into the prison. How long have you been in here, Joseph? What brought you here? Do you like it in here in this prison? He didn't like one moment of it. And yet God said, Joseph, you have to wait. You've got to wait because I'm working out my purpose. And I have it all planned, Joseph. And you must wait, trusting my word, it will not fail. And of course, we could go into the further history of Joseph, and we could see how God exalted him, how once Joseph is brought before Pharaoh all of a sudden. Didn't take very long. Took all these years waiting. And Joseph be thinking, when is God going to do something? Everything's going in the opposite direction. And then one night, Pharaoh has a dream. Joseph is called in, shaves himself, cleans himself, leaves the garments of the prison behind, makes himself presentable. And what happens? He's exalted immediately. He interprets the dream, and then the next thing he's given the high position in the land, as quickly as that. And yet, all these years, the word of the Lord was trying him. And some of us have had to learn in our experience that until the Lord's time comes, we must trust his word. And you may be here tonight, I don't know the circumstances of anyone basically here, their personal, private circumstances. But it may well be that you have perhaps a very definite promise that you say, I got this years ago from the Lord. And it is something I've been hanging on for these years. And I've been waiting. And it doesn't seem that what I thought God promised me is ever going to come to pass. In fact, there's times it all seems to be going in the opposite direction. Remember this, until the time of his word, until God's time, it is our business to wait, because God is faithful to his word. And it's all very well, you know, to read the Bible and say, well, I get comfort here and encouragement there. But do we know what it is to be really tested? Do we know in our experience what it is for God to really test us? There's my word. How long will you wait for it? There's my promise. How long will you trust me? How long will you believe me? How long will you rely upon me? God reveals our hearts to us as he tests us by his word. But we shall leave it there. May the Lord bless his word.